Now, as we come to this passage of Scripture in the fourth chapter, beginning here with verse 14, we begin now a consideration of our great high priest in the next three verses. And we're going to see, beginning here with verse 14, chapter 4, down through the 28th verse of chapter 7, that Christ is superior to the Levitical priesthood, and that the Lord Jesus is himself our great high priest. Now, that was important to see because Israel was accustomed to go through their high priest of the Levitical order and the priest that served in the tabernacle, later in the temple, and it was through them that they made their commitment to God and brought their sacrifices. Now, we find in this passage that the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. In fact, the writer here, and we believe it was Paul, was so concerned and so enthusiastic about the priesthood of Christ that way back in chapter 3, at that time, you remember, he said, "Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus." He wanted to get the folk that were reading the epistle immediately to consider our high priest. Now he's come to the subject, and this is going to be the subject, actually, I think, through the rest of the epistle, but there will be, of course, application of the great truth. Now he says in verse 14, and let me read, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," or better still, our confession. Now, Christ is our high priest. The pagan notion of priesthood, I think, colors our thinking in reference to a priest. A pagan priest actually barred the approach to God. The priest claimed some mystical powers that would be essential to bring an individual to God, and you'd have to go through this priest who had this particular ability. And, of course, that type of thing denies the finished work of Christ and the priesthood of all believers. That was one of the great truths that John Calvin emphasized, and that was the priesthood of all believers. All of us need a priest. We have a lack, and we need help, and all of us have hang-ups. And it's the answer to the heart cry of Job when he says, "Oh, that there was a daysman, mediator, priest, to stand between me and God. Put his hand in the hand of God, and then put his hand in my hand, and bring us together." Now, we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. And let me say right at the very beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ was not a priest on earth. The only mention of him ever making any kind of a sacrifice, and he never needed to make a sacrifice for himself, of course, was the time that he told Simon Peter to go catch a fish and to take the gold piece out of his mouth that he might pay the tax. And he did that, I think, to make it very clear that he was not a priest here on earth, and that to be a priest, you had to come in the line of Aaron. You had to be in the tribe of Levi. And the Lord Jesus came in the tribe of Judah and was not in the priestly line. He was in the kingly line. But when he was here on earth, he came to this earth as a prophet. He came here to speak for God. He went back to heaven a priest to represent us. He became a priest when he ascended to heaven. He died down here to save us, and he lives up yonder to keep us saved. Now let's look at this again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, we have a great high priest, he's passed into the heavens. Now, the Lord Jesus, today, that's one of his offices. He is a priest. Now, it's true that when he was here, that he offered himself upon the cross. And that is the function of a priest. But as a priest to represent you and me, well, it means that he had to wait till he got back to heaven to do that. I like to put it like this. Christ occupies a threefold office. He was a prophet when he came here 1,900 years ago. That's the past. He is a priest today. That's for the present. He's coming someday as the king. That's the future. But he occupies all three offices. And this is the threefold office of Christ. And this actually is the great subject of the epistle to the Hebrews here. He says, let us hold fast, not our profession, but our confession. And here we have some more lettuce. This is a regular salad bowl here, because we'll have it again in verse 16. Let us. It's a challenge to us, you see, a call to us, and I think actually a command to us. Let us hold fast our confession. Now, if you'll notice, he didn't say, let us hold fast our salvation. He's not talking about our salvation. He's talking about our testimony down here, about our witness, about our living for him. He died down here to save us. He lives up yonder to keep us saved and enable us down here to witness a good witness. And that is something that's important. Some people say, well, I can't live the Christian life. Well, I have news for you. You can't live the Christian life. And God never asked you to live the Christian life. And I'm sure been thankful for that because I tried it. It didn't work. You can't do it in your own strength. He never asked that. He asked that he might live it through us. He lives up yonder, friends, in order that you and I might hold fast to our confession, our testimony down here. Now, he is going to give a regular roll call of the heroes of faith, we call them. Actually, it shows what faith did in the lives of men and women in all ages when he gets to the 11th chapter. And when he gets over there to the 11th chapter, he says that all of these, they had a good witness. They all had that. These all contained a good report. That is, a good witness through faith. They witnessed a good witness. And you can take any of them that you have there. Abraham, he witnessed a good witness. These men live by faith. Now, as they live by faith, we today have a great high priest who is there to help us live for God today.